Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. How are you today on this rather wet Monday, which has kind of informed my show today? I've decided today, for the first time in all of these shows, I think, if I can remember rightly, to just be with you as me. No guests. Lots of things to talk about, lots of discoveries that I'm experiencing at the moment, and an opportunity for maybe for us to share, you know, me as the host or the presenter or, you know, whatever you want to call me, and you as the listeners. But I want to, if it's all right, and you'll indulge me a little, I want to explore the relationship that we have. How does a presenter or a host on a radio show that reaches, you know, thousands and thousands, if not millions of people, how do we stay connected in a deeper way, in a more loving and respectful, unified stream of consciousness? So that's my exploration for today. Let's see how it goes. But first of all, I'd like to share a little bit about what's informed this show, and why I wanted to go solo today. So you may have noticed over the last few weeks, we've been interviewing or having guests on, should I say, from OMMM. So it's, for want of a better word, OMM is a movement that has galvanized or brought together, as far as I can tell, enlightened beings, like humans that have done the work in the space of consciousness development, spiritual development, yogic development, sacred and ancient processes, and developed these and brought them into their everyday lives, which I think is extraordinary. And the reason I'm feeling very much a part of the OMM movement is because I've done that in my work. Oh, my cat has just decided to knock something over on the table. Sorry about that. Crash bang. Thanks, Ponyo. So, you know, Where does this kind of development or this kind of practice or this kind of ritual and engagement in what I would describe as spiritual practices, where does this lead us? Where does it take us? So that's one aspect that I want to talk about today. And then the other equally as important aspect is that the Earth is talking to us right now, harder and stronger and more powerfully and with a louder voice than I've certainly known her to be in my lifetime, and perhaps looking back through modern history. And we are going to look at some ancient history today as well. So this is a story that captured my imagination. It's been happening over the weekend. The headline is more than 193 people dead in Nepal as capital records highest rainfall in 50 years. Now, this is a country that I've been to. It's a country that's deeply connected spiritually. It has a very strong religious, in fact, it's not right. It's not quite religious. It's a spiritual essence of Buddhism running through its country and Hinduism and some other spiritual types that I haven't mentioned here. But this particular story resonates with me because, you know, 193 people dead, and that's what they've found so far due to rainfall, and the highest in 50 years. So It goes on to say major floods and landslides in Nepal have killed at least 193 people and left over 100 people injured as rescuers continue to recover more bodies on Sunday. So that's yesterday. 3 days of what is described as relentless rainfall have inundated the Himalayan country, causing widespread flash floods. The victims included pregnant women, 4-year-old girl, football team, houses have collapsed, there's been landslides. It goes on. I mean, clearly this is, devastating news for the people and residents and those on holiday in that area of the world. Now, I went into my local coffee shop this morning, as I do. I dropped my son off to nursery in the mornings. And then my wife and I, Katie, who's the editor of My Green Pod, we went and hung out in the coffee shop, sat down, just chatting away, getting on with some work. And a lady came in with her two, well, yeah, possibly children, possibly a child and partner, who knows, but they were kind of teenage age. And we got chatting. And she said to me in a kind of opening line, with kind of, because she looked quite grief stricken, actually. She said to me that she was up here because she'd had to move out of her home, which is in Bedfordshire, a village in Bedfordshire, because it was flooded the second time in her recent years that she's has been flooded and had to leave her own home. And I thought, wow. Actually, when we engaged in conversation, her whole demeanor changed, her outlook changed, her face changed, and she began to smile and, kind of see the, I guess, the friendlier side of it. But it really jolted me into not quite sadness, because I try to avoid that emotion as much as possible and actually integrate that feeling as another experience. Of course, emotionally, I'm sad, but spiritually, it's like, oh, what is that doing for me? Which we'll go in a bit deeper. So I really want to explore this show today about perhaps what this show is about, which is called Lean Into Clean. It's about how we can, as human beings in a world that is getting more and more chaotic on a daily basis, begin to understand what's happening, begin to integrate what's happening into our lives, begin to, dare I say it, become perhaps a embodied solution to what's going on in the world right now. And not a problem, and I say that in inverted commas, because if the narrative around the climate crisis is correct, which I don't think it is, and I'll share more about that in a minute, but if the narrative that we're reading in the mainstream is correct, that humans are responsible for this thing we are calling a climate crisis, then of course we are a huge problem. So let's just underline that statement for a minute and look at, how the media is portraying human beings as being part of the problem. And I certainly think we are currently in the story, part of the problem, but perhaps not necessarily the problem, in quotes. So let's look at what the media says. The media says that humans are, and not just the media, the IPCC report, which is the climate independent party and climate information, like the kind of, the world's leading independent authority on the climate crisis. It says that humans, i.e., us, are creating the problem when it comes to the climate crisis, because we are using fossil fuels more than ever. We are cutting down forests and rainforests, so there's massive amount of devastation and destruction around, the lungs, if you like, of our earth, if you believe the trees are potentially our partners in helping us to breathe. And then also biodiversity loss. So the areas of the world that are degrading due to either heat temperatures, mass floods, fauna and flora being used up at historic rates that never been known before. And we've got to remember that, our part in this, our human part in this is that we have a relationship with the earth. We use the earth resources to create energy, to create food, to create materials for our businesses. And in fact, I don't think there's a business on the planet or an organization on the planet that sells something, whether it's a product or a service. I don't think there's one on the planet that doesn't use the Earth's materials or energy in order to provide a profitable service. So let's look at that from a wider context. So if we are the problem, if we are using, for example, fossil fuels or materials that create deforestation, so meat industry is a big example of that. So a lot of the rainforest is cut down, is then planted with either soya to feed animals or palm oil to feed our products that we consume, then of course we are potentially part of that relationship in being quote unquote a problem. Now, let's look at this from a slightly different perspective. What if, like our Om ambassadors, and I'm going to introduce you to them in a bit more detail later in the show, or certainly the way that I've lived in the world with a spiritual practice, and believe that maybe we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and believe that, we may have chosen to incarnate into this world at this time for to be, to be in response to this thing we are calling a crisis. What if it's actually all perfect and exactly how we chose it to be from a spiritual perspective? What if 8 billion humans are not causing the problem, but 8 billion people came incarnated at this time to be humans, to resolve or to be a part of the evolution of consciousness? There are many, many scientists now that are proving that spirituality, that the information in our universe, that perhaps things that we might perceive as being magical or kind of, a bit esoteric, are actually scientifically proven correct. So, as an example of that, and a big example, it is now the case that our universe operates as energy. So we've kind of already proven scientifically that everything in our universe is energy. And the development of that is that our universe is not only energy, it's conscious. So everything within our world that we can perceive, from a tree to a flower to a car to a computer, etc., is conscious, therefore is responding in a way that is part of our narrative. And now the further development of that scientific proof is that not only is it energy, not only is it conscious, but it's also in formation. So you can look at that as information, or you can look at it as information, i.e. constantly changing. But the reality of that is, and this is related to quantum scientific understanding, is that the information that is available to us, whether we are receiving it through the media, whether we are repeating it through our spoken word or interactions or relationships, that information is creating the reality that we are living in. Now, how cool or amazing is that? Which essentially means that all of the information that is in our world that we are reading, hearing, saying, etc., is creating the reality that we are experiencing. Now, this is not me just making up this stuff. This is scientifically proven and knowledge that this is a fact or a truth, if you like. So let's just look at that for a minute. So what science is saying is that the information in our universe is created through binary code, which is essentially zeros and ones, which is exactly the same way that we have created our computer systems to work. They work in binary code. So there's been this scientific information that has come about over the last probably decade or so that is saying that the information in our universe is exactly the same as what we've created through storing information. So how do you value that, or how do you evaluate that? Well, to give you an example, did you know that all of the information that is stored in our computer systems, and that be quantum or binary, i.e. the AI level of information, which is pretty much exponential at the moment, all of the data on all of the servers across Google, Amazon, et cetera, could be held, check this, in one leaf of one plant on our planet today. How amazing is that? So every bit of information that we've got access to in our fundamental external, systems could actually be stored in the DNA of a plant, of one single plant, one single leaf in one single plant right now today. How mad is that? So what I'm trying to do is trying to explore that, on our outside world and our outside experience, we are experiencing ourselves as being part of a system that is actually controlling us. And actually, we can flip that to understand that if we can change the way that we are perceiving ourselves and the way that we are engaging with the world, and that comes down to, I think, spiritual practices, then we could actually be changing the narrative, changing the information, and therefore changing the external experience. So I think there have been many people that have incarnated into our world throughout history that have understood this, and they are the likes of the Buddhas, the Christ figures, the Kuan Yings, the Jesus, if you are understanding that story through the kind of, if you like, the non-written approach, but actually this, ascended master that chose to incarnate to the earth, possibly the Son of God, who knows? Is it possible that there are people walking the earth today that equally have this level of connection, this level of understanding, this level of qualities that these previous incarnations of wise beings, the Buddhas, the Kuan Yings, the Christs, the sages, is it possible that they could be walking our earth today with exactly the same level of intelligence and connection and might have the power, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, or the leadership qualities, or the ability to mass mobilize people in exactly the same way that these ancient sages have? I think yes. I think the answer to that is yes. And I think the answer to that is it's you and it's people around you that you've connected with that you know are walking the earth with a different essence of quality, not bound by the constrictions of the current narrative, but have managed to elevate their consciousness through perhaps being born enlightened or through spiritual practices that's created that sense of enlightenment. And I think it's time. I think we are coming back together. So if you feel resonated and you feel like, yes, I was born with a level of quality of understanding. I know that what's going on in the world today is not how it should be. And I feel very much a part of this new paradigm that we have an opportunity to co-create collectively. If you feel that's you, I want you to get in contact with me and maybe push out some questions. So before we go to a commercial break, there are two ways that you can reach me now live. And if you have a question or you feel part of that, contact me. So you can either do it through Twitter at mygreenpod. So it's my green, the color pod, POD. So if you send me a message, I'll pick it up right now. Or you can email info@ukhealthradio.com. That's info@ukhealthradio.com. And my lovely producer, Johan, will either send it to me or read out the question live and we can get into a bit more detail. We're going to go to a commercial break. I've hopefully opened up the infinite potential or possibility of the inquiry of this today's show, and I'll see you back here in a moment.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith, Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. So I'm going a bit philosophical today. I hope you're still with me, and you know, there's an opportunity for us to interact. I'm talking about the current situation that this planet is in. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. We seem to be on the brink of World War III. You know, there is absolutely no doubt that there is tensions between America and Russia, and it's happening through Ukraine. You know, there clearly is now stuff going on in the Middle East, which again is these tensions between the polarized ways of thinking. Now, look, I'm not here to fix any of those problems, but these issues are constructs of perhaps the way that we are choosing to live in the world, or more importantly, constructs of the leadership that we choose to support in the world. So how do we get past this? One of my biggest issues that I'm trying to tackle is not so much around the wars, but is more about around the climate crisis. But of course, these things are absolutely interconnected. So let's look at the physical reality. So we have a climate crisis. We have a situation where there are floods, there are heat waves, there are earthquakes, there have been tsunamis, there are solar flares. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There is even a narrative, if you look into this a bit more deeply, that perhaps even the poles are shifting, which I know is completely mind-blowing, but there is some scientific proof of that happening. But why would this be happening in such a way? So here's my very personal theory. I trained for 15 years consciously through practice and ritual with a female shaman, not in South America, but indigenous to the UK. I trained in the arts and the ancient sacred arts of yoga, of energy work, of shamanism. And the shamanism part is really, really important, because if you look at the shamans of our world that are alive today, they tend to be from indigenous communities. They tend to be in communities that are still protecting nearly 90% of the world's biodiversity, i.e. ecosystems. And they also have a relationship with our planet that we, I think, collectively in the main have lost. So my training was, yes, it was yoga, and yes, it was practice, and yes, it was energy healing. But the biggest lesson I learned was actually being still enough and deeply connected enough to listen to nature, i.e. aligning my vibration and my frequency with the natural rhythms of planet Earth. I call the Earth Gaia, or this conscious, living, breathing being. And actually, many shamans and sages and spiritual people around the world will tell you exactly the same thing. So it's not just my thing. But here's the theory part. So because I've trained in the art of listening to nature over the years, and that's 35 years ago now, over the years, I've been able to also develop not only listening, but being able to interpret and understand what I believe she is telling us. And this comes through a communication that we might describe as intuition or as a sixth sense. I'm well practiced in this. I mean, it's been very much a part of my life, as I said, for a long time. I do a daily kriya, daily meditation, daily breathing, daily asana, and actually choose to start my day each day by raising my vibration to the highest. It's frequent to me so that I'm not bogged down by what I believe is another paradigm, which is fear-based. So that's what I choose to do every day. And then I'm able to be open-hearted and open-eared to listening to what nature is telling us. Now, just to give you an example of this, when the pandemic happened back in 2020, I remember going outside and sitting in my garden. There was a neighbor that had caught COVID. She was absolutely fear-stricken. She thought she was going to die, as many of us did in that very early days, because that was the narrative that was being poured out into the news. I remember sitting and meditating on the earth, And I listened and listened and listened. I asked the question, why is this happening? And I got this response that said, this, I'm the virus. I'm talking to you. The reason I have come into consciousness or into human existence is because I want people to understand and break through their fear of death. That was profound and mind-blowing. I remember sharing that with my neighbor. She didn't get it at the time, but maybe she has since. So that was what I was told at the beginning of the pandemic, that this virus, however it came, man-made, nature-made, it doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. But the reason it had manifested into human consciousness was to help us evolve through our base level of fear. And I think that was the beginning of the ripple of an awakening that happened en masse. Every single person in the world engaged in this at exactly the same time. It was perhaps the first of many ripples that we're going to experience in this time that I am calling the awakening. So during that same period, because I felt like I had enough time to meditate a lot more than I would normally, because we were kind of grounded and asked to stay at home, I was able to listen to nature without the normal noise that's going on in the world, i.e. the airplanes, the cars, the people, the construction, just the daily busyness of life. And I actually asked the question, I remember it really profoundly, why are we in crisis? Why are we having this climate crisis? And nature said to me very clearly, in the way that I understand and listen to these frequencies, she said to me, what if it's not a crisis? I'm definitely not calling this a crisis. This is actually my way of speaking to you all to get you to understand that you have moved so far away from me in relationship that I'm finding it difficult to be able to rejuvenate or recuperate everything that you're taking from me. I'm not in crisis, but I am using these things that you are calling a crisis to communicate with you because that's the only way I can get you all to listen. So that was a massive, massive turning point for me, particularly as in 2006, when I was on my Channel 4 TV show Dumped, I got the message that Mother Nature was toxic and needing our help to help her become less toxic. So this is like, 16 years on, and I'm getting this message now. What if this isn't a crisis? What if it's the greatest opportunity that we've ever had to evolve our consciousness, to remember we are all connected, and therefore potentially, going back to the spiritual thing, potentially manifest or ground heaven on earth? In nearly every spiritual book, or the ancient records in Sanskrit, in Hinduism, the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bible, it talks about bringing heaven on earth. Maybe this is our opportunity to do that. So I know this is all a bit kind of philosophical, but this is certainly my experience and understanding of it. So I wanted to get back to Om and the Om ambassadors, because we've had so somebody's asked a question. Before I go into the Om ambassadors, I'm gonna go to this. Well, actually, let me read this out. This is from Jason. Jason, thank you for sending this in, because it means that actually our experiment is working. It says, so glad you mentioned the Earth's frequencies. I do believe that we as humans can control our frequencies and alive then with that of the, I think align them with that of the Earth, to live in tune, to listen to what she, the Earth is saying, telling us, instructing us, and now shouting. Jason, thank you for that. That's exactly what I am talking about. If anybody else wants to send in a question or a just a confirmation that what I'm saying is what's going on for you, do either tweet at, well, X us. I'm not, you can't say tweet anymore, can you? But I even said Twitter. I'm so sorry. That's just my silliness. Send us a message on X if you are still a member of X. Send it to my green pod. Or you can email info@ukhealthradio.com. info@ukhealthradio.com. Thank you, Johan, who's behind the scenes here. We've got made sure that message got through to me. Thank you, Jason. So this is good. It's resonating. Well, certainly with Jason. But I want to get to the ambassadors. Sorry, should I say the ambassadors, which is I keep pronouncing it incorrectly. So the movement, which is ommmpresents.com, the movement is about galvanizing, giving space to, creating a unified field of people that know they incarnated at this time to help raise and elevate the consciousness of our universe, of our solar system, of our planet, of our sentient beings, and actually of perhaps all beings, whether they are carnate or incarnate, whether they are in this dimension or multidimensional. Who knows? I don't have any answers to that. But what I do know is true is that I hear things. It seems to be true. I'm not crazy. Maybe I am crazy, or maybe we're all crazy for those of us that aren't choosing to listen to that innate sacred wisdom and ancient abilities that perhaps we all used to have before, modern religions and modern organizations and modern technology companies, et cetera, started to infiltrate and control the way that we live in the earth. So I'm going to talk about the ambassador or the ambassadors, should I say. The ambassadors are what I can see is well-practiced individuals that have had a spiritual practice for the majority of their lives, that have chosen to raise their vibration, have chosen certain skills. And they are now, and we are now coming together to create a safe space for, to create a safe space, should I say, for anybody that wants to join the movement, be a part of something bigger than yourself, be a part of this opportunity that nature is giving us to elevate and to raise the vibration of our planet so we can perhaps ascend into the next stage of existence in this, what we call real world. I mean, we all know it's not real because actually it's simply a hologram of the information and the energy and the consciousness that is built into the system. Now, I don't want to get into conspiracy theory, but I do know this, that, there are people on this planet right now and have been in the past that have talked about this stuff and have been blasphemized by it. I want to play a record now, which is by, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest artists that has ever walked the earth. And of course, there have been many. It's my absolute hero, the great late Bob Marley. He wrote a song, which is one of his finest, although there were many, called Redemption Song. Have a listen to the words. This is clearly an enlightened being that wanted to, educate the world about Rastafarianism, which I think is about the truth that I'm speaking of now, and very much about Jah love, one love, about unity, about peace. But we're going to play this song, Redemption Song. Listen to the words. There's a line in there which talks about why do we kill our prophets? I often change that word when I'm singing this song to why are we killing our forests as well. So just think about that word prophets in there, align it with nature. Enjoy this song. It certainly touches me every single time I play it. So this is Redemption Song by the late, great, beautiful Bob Marley.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. Sorry, I had to go to a quick commercial break, but isn't that song by Bob Marley, just amazing? Redemption Song. I think it was written in the 70s. I love that line. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy. Because none of them are gonna stop at a time. Now that, I mean, those lines are just profound, particularly in the times that we are living today. So there is no doubt that, the great artist Bob Marley was clearly a sage, a prophet, a wisdom keeper. He had got to that place by training specifically with the Rastafarians in Jamaica. But not only that, he'd also had an upbringing, a childhood that was, deeply troubled, if you look at it from, from the outside in. I'm wondering if, if we are spiritual beings having a human experience, that we maybe choose certain ways to experience ourselves at a very early age so we can awaken quickly to a different path. Clearly there is a system that we are born into. Clearly that system is not working for us. Many of us now are choosing to break free from that system. I mean, it's happening everywhere, which is amazing. If you don't subscribe to the mainstream narrative of the legacy media and the, if you don't subscribe to any of that, but you do actually have an ability to separate yourself from the outside world and actually have a much deeper relationship with your inner world, if you are well practiced in knowing yourself, you do understand that you can actually be a pretty useful person in the grand scheme of things. I've had another question come in before I go into to the ambassadors. This is Jarvis. Would love to hear more about the pole movement theory. Heard about it not so long ago, but can't really find info on it. Sue, thank you for your message. Now look, when I was first on my spiritual journey back in the 80s, and by the way, I was born in 70, so it happened to me very early in life. I was told about this pole theory back then. I'd kind of forgotten about it, but if you go to, if you don't mind me recommending another podcast, if you go to Stephen Bartlett's podcast, The CEO, The Diary of a CEO, he has a very interesting conversation. I'm going to look it up in a minute with who it is, but I can't remember exactly who the scientist was. But the information that he shares about the scientific proof that the poles are actually shifting right now, and nobody's talking about this in the mainstream, please do go and check it out. So it's Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO. Don't do it now, obviously, do it after the show. But Sue, go and check it out, and I'll try and research it if I can in a minute when the next song's playing and give you the information. So please do that. Thank you for messaging in. Anybody else that wants to message in, please do send an email to info@ukhealthradio.com, or you can X me. Is that the correct term we use nowadays? You can tweet me. It used to be Twitter, now it's called X, at MyGreenPod. It's simply at MyGreenPod. You can send me a message or a tweet there, or an X, or whatever you call it now, and I will pick that up and read it out. So I was talking about Bob Marley. I was talking about, clearly this was an intuitive, special human being that had done his spiritual practice and had a perhaps an early awakening childhood. Now I'm not saying that's going to be the case for everybody, but pretty much everybody that I meet that is in some way, shape, or form tapped into a stream of consciousness that is perhaps the norm, and i.e., I mean, being able to intuitively get information, to be able to connect with nature, to be able to, understand healing practices and technologies and these ancient ways. That is what Om is all about. So I want to tell you a little bit about Om. And for those of you that would like to find out more information, you can go to ompresents.com, which is OMMM presents.com. I just want to share the vision, right? The vision is, and it's really beautiful who we are. At the core, Om is a beautiful and powerful manifestation of its founders' genuine desire, sorry, of its founders' genuine desire to make the world a better place. The vision, it says, through content, events, transformation programs, and immersive experiences, Om amplifies the powerful work of our Om ambassadors, which I'm going to get into in a minute. Ambassadors. Sorry, I keep pronouncing it wrong. Ambassadors. A network of incredible human beings and organizations who support the expansion of our mission to enhance global well-being, unlock our full potential, and actively contribute to a more peaceful society. It says, we believe that blending ancient practices and wisdom with the modern world offers a unique and evolved approach to wellness. We serve as the connective tissue that activates and amplifies the greatest work of highly qualified talent, inspiring individuals from all walks of life to deepen their self-connection, elevate consciousness, experience unity, and nurture inner peace in their, your daily lives. Through accessible multimedia content, live events, transformation programs, educational tools, and immersive experiences, we aim to provide this transformative medicine to anyone in need. Now, the founders, I met the two founders, or certainly one of the two founders, at COP in Dubai. This is Michelle Narciso. She's got an incredible background, is very much in the kind of real world. She was senior vice president of strategy and business operations, music program, talent and events at Paramount Global, which is Viacom, right? It's a huge, huge organization. And in that role, she spearheaded high profile projects. She drove operational efficiencies and curated music programming and events that captivated audiences worldwide. Now, and then the other co-founder, which I love the fact that it's two women, amazing, is Maria Alphonse. Maria was an experienced real estate executive for 18 years. But since a young age, Maria has been inspired to work on her personal and spiritual growth and rejoices in helping others to do the same. So, you know, two women that have come together, that have been in the, you know, in the mainstream world, you know, in both high profile positions, have decided that, unlike the pandemic did for many people, decided that, hold on a minute, there is another way that I can be in the world. There is something else that I can offer. And through their personal skills, their personalities, and their experience, they've set up this OM movement. We can't even call it an organization because we don't want it to be set in the old paradigm, or they don't want it to be set in the old paradigm. So it's attracted the likes of the ambassadors. It's attracted, well, yours truly is an ambassador, but you know enough about me because you've been tuning in. But it's attracted people like Lama Tashi Nobu. He is a Tibetan Buddhist monk, an internationally acclaimed artist. He happened to be the Dalai Lama's artist in resident, i.e. created most of the artworks in the temples, personally for the Dalai Lama, etc., etc. And is now the only, he's actually the head of the only licensed Tibetan museum out of Tibet, which happens to be in the Netherlands. You may have remembered the show that I did with Lama Tashi. He has been on the show, so do go back to previous shows so you can hear more about him. He's amazing. I mean, whenever we go anywhere, and we go to quite a lot of events together. I mean, for example, we were in New York just this last Saturday for Peace Day. We created an hour and a half's worth of content. There was Snethem Kaur who you know sung for a set. Lama Tashi did some chants and created a mandala, you know, really sacred ancient wisdom integrated in probably the most high profile consumer space in the world, Times Square. It was so surreal. We were, you know, creating peace and spoken word about peace and speakers that were peaceful and speaking about the consciousness of peace, and then musicians that were performing music. I mean, it was absolutely, truly beautiful. But there we were in the middle of this high-end technology concrete jungle, and we managed to create peace right there. I had about 20 people come up to me at the end of our OM section and say, this has been life-changing. Thank you. You've given me hope. You know, that was amazing. How do we contact you? How do we get in, you know, how do we get involved, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just awesome. There were tens of thousands of people that walked through the space on that day. So, but it was also broadcast live. At the moment, we are putting together, if you like, an edit of the live show, but you can also see the full live experience if you go to OM Presents YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube, put in OM Presents Earth Day Live, you'll see the live show. You can get that. Now, it was presented by another ambassador. Yay, I got it right. Yogini Jema. Yogini Jamo is she's a renowned Ayurvedic medicinal and yogic practitioner. She's got a phenomenally interesting background. She chose to, step away from life as she knew it and wanted to become a yogi. Ended up in one of the very, very deeply spiritual, magical places in southern India. And took a vow to become a truly practicing yogi. You're going to hear her story. She's going to be on the show next week, which I'm super, super excited about. So I don't want to give too much away. Other ambassadors are Sanjeev Verma. He's a meditation master, a Vedic psychologist, creator of the Mind Demystified project, and he does this astounding astrological readings. I mean, he even gave me a reading and he pointed out immediately the three kind of karmic influences that have been in my life, and has given me a practice that I'm doing now for the next 42 days. I'm about 20 days in. And once I've done that practice, it will clear those karmic obligations apparently completely. So I should let you know in 42 days whether they've gone. There's another amazing person, Kathleen Prendeville, who's an ambassador. I mean, Kathleen, I mean, firstly, she's a dynamic force. She currently works in the corporate world at Google. But what she does is she beautifully demystifies the relationship between, if you like, corporate world and well-being, health and well-being through mindfulness practice. She has an extraordinary story. I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but she lost her sister to suicide. It completely transformed her life. And I'm going to have Kathleen on the show soon to be able to talk about that with you all. So I won't give away too much. Another ambassador is Sister Jenna, who is, I guess, perhaps the new kind of leader of the Brahma Kumaris. The Brahma Kumaris has been around for years and years and years and years. Started in India, came to the West in let's have a think, in the early 80s. I can remember, and this is magical, living in Wembley Park at the time and actually looking for spiritual practice in my life, and wandering down to the high street, coming across a Brahma Kumaris shop. It was literally on like Wembley Park High Street, and walking in there and being with the two original founders, Sister Janti, and I can't remember the other one, but they were just really beautiful beings, and they taught me the art of meditational practice when I was 15, in those very early days. So Sister Jenna, she's a mentor, she's an author, she's a radio and TV personality, but actually, more importantly, a world-renowned spiritual leader. She's also an ambassador. Now, there's also some younger generational people because, Michelle and Maria felt it really important to, to have these younger, perhaps less conditioned individuals that are, very much part of the changing culture that is happening before our eyes. And I'm bringing three people into this, although one of them is actually not actually young, but perhaps an elder, but is it really embodying her younger creativity? So we'll start with the musical hero that has been on the show, A.Y. Young. He's a musician, a visionary, a global change maker. He's done 959 100% renewable batch renewable. Energized concerts powered by batteries, his own design. There's Hannah Sanadi, who, as you know, was on the show just recently. She's a British Yemeni, an award-winning sustainability advocate, an entrepreneurial and innovative thinker. She's clearly doing some amazing stuff, changing things as we go. So she was on the show, and then she's an ambassador. And then also, and this lady's super cool, Mandy Mayhem, who seems to be having a second life. Mandy Mayhem is an acclaimed rapper and a musician on a mission of universal empowerment. So, these are just a handful of the ambassadors that will be becoming part of the movement. There's people becoming connected with us and moving into this space of becoming an ambassador. And essentially, we are committed to Having our own personal practice to feeling confident and powerful and wise enough to be able to speak about those things that we feel are going to be, shining lights or guiding flags or moments of inspiration or ways to connect for you out there to become part of a movement that is beyond ourselves. So I've got a few little catchphrases for ARM. I've got the mass mobilizing movement. I've got the mass mobilizing magic, mass mobilizing music. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff. Not only are we going to be doing our live performances, there's going to be a podcast coming up. We've obviously got our social media presence. So search for us, On Presents. If you go to onpresents.com, you can actually find the social media handles. There is a contact form there. Do leave your information. Do connect with us. Just tell us why you're interested. But most importantly, the thing that I'd love to leave you with is this: is we are a gathering of individuals that have done our personal work, that are wanting to stand up, to be counted, to have a voice, and to perhaps break us through this fear-based paradigm into this opportunity of reconnecting with the sacred. Will all of the industrial revolution and the technology revolution, things that we've learned, and connecting the sacred, the ancient with the modern, and the useful aspects of how we could perhaps evolve as a species, as a planet, as a cosmos, as a universe, as et cetera, et cetera. So thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me the opportunity to let off some steam, to talk to you kind of one to one, because this message for those of you that feel this activation in your hearts, come and join us, get involved in onpresents.com, get involved with our social media, get involved with us. If you've got any messages for me, don't hesitate to go to info@ukhealthradio.com. I'll read out those messages or those questions next week. And thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See you next week.